RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
I need you to mark it down, Hazel. Here's the moment I became a James Franklin fan. Like, yeah, I've been a James Franklin fan. I've been a fan of the signing. Mm-hmm. I've been a conceptual fan of the match between James Franklin, good football coach, Virginia Tech, down and out school that needs a good football coach to take it back. 10:19 a.m. Wednesday morning, December 3rd. I'm a James Franklin super fan.
Noted. Oh my goodness. Hang on. I'll write that down.
Effective immediately. I don't know how much you follow the high stakes world of cookies. Crumble Cookies is a national chain of cookie shops.
Of course.
We're getting there.
James, locked in.
James Franklin was coach at Penn State. Okay. They said good riddance. They fired him. He ended up at Virginia Tech. Penn State tried to hire BYU's coach, Kalani Sitake. He's one of the hottest names in the coaching search pool. Probably a really great fit at Penn State. Penn State comes down, flies a jet down, interviews him, makes him an offer. BYU, what are they going to do? They're going to call on their secret weapon. The CEO of Crumble Cookies, Jason McGowan, is a BYU super fan.
Okay.
And
sure.
I don't know how much money there is in cookies, but I do know that he cut a big enough check that Kalani Sitake said no to Penn State.
Dang!
And is staying at BYU.
Wow!
And Jason McGowan, CEO of Crumble Cookies, is taking a victory lap on Twitter right before the deal got signed. This is what he posted. Some people are not replaceable. Sounds like it's time for me to get off the sidelines and get to work.
What?
What does it mean for you to have Kalani as our head coach at BYU? Right now is the moment to let him feel the love, respect, and gratitude of Cougar Nation. He's given everything to this program.
Yeah.
Let's show him how much he means to all of us.
Hype up! Get him a cookie! Get that man a cookie!
That man got a lot of cookies. Enough that he said no to Penn State.
Wow.
Which is quite the decision.
Man.
That's a lot of cookie money. So Penn State still needs a coach. All the SEC coaches and that carousel stopped. They had their guy. They lost their guy to the Crumble Cookie guy.
To the Crumble Cookie guy.
All right. This morning, signing day, as previously referenced, James Franklin doing his media event this morning. Would you like to guess what he served at the Virginia Tech Media Day signing day media event?
Oh, I'm hoping it's cookies.
It's Crumble Cookies.
That's a good bit. That's a good bit, James.
That's a phenomenal bit. That's a top five college football rivalry bit. Full stop.
Ooh, Crumble Cookies.
Got giant boxes of Crumble Cookies all over the place in Blacksburg this morning. I don't even know if there is a Crumble in Blacksburg. Such a good bit.
He made it happen, though.
Such a good. He probably had them flown in. That's what the private jet's for. Go get me some Crumble Cookies. We're putting them everywhere.
Oh, you want to rub it in.
Oh, you want to hire a coach? It's not as easy as it looks. It's not as easy as it looks anymore.
Ooh, you never know who's involved.
You never know who's going to be involved. Crumble Cookie money denying Penn State their coach of the future. Going to be hard to top that, but we got to hear Dan Quinn. He was on Hard Knocks yesterday. Hard Knocks in season follows around the teams during the season, mics them up, things like that. Rarely do we get great insights out of the Hard Knocks in season because they're pretty closed door about everything, and this was no exception. They were with the Giants as well. Did we get Abdul Carter looking at porn on his iPad during a team meeting? No, we did not. We didn't get that during the episode. But we did get Dan Quinn's speech to the guys in the locker room after the overtime loss.
Come on in. Man, I'm fucking dying with you, man. And one thing I would say, man, like, we also recaptured, like, the fucking competitive dog. All right? So, like, I want you to understand that's a big fucking deal about who we are and what we stand for and that. So, like, it doesn't change the result. Trust me, all right? We lost, but we're not lost anymore. You know what I'm saying by that? Sometimes you get your fucking heart broken. You got to lay it all out there. All right? It's things tonight, for sure. But we lost, but we are not lost anymore.
And you heard Von Miller on the Junkies yesterday, the show before us. I don't know why I'm struggling to pull the name of the show before us. It's the Sports Junkies, 6 to 10 every morning on The Fan, of course. Sorry, Junks. Von Miller was on with them, and that loss took a lot out of me. And obviously it was extra personal for him because he played with the Broncos for a long time. But I think the fans are really optimistic coming out of this game. I think Dan Quinn saw what he wanted to see during that game. I think that speech was indicative of that, right? Like, losing hurts, and also, don't go hang your head. Like, we know what it is to hang your head. We had the Seahawks put up a bazillion points on us on Sunday Night Football, send the fans to the exits before halftime. We had that loss in Madrid. We had the Lions game, the Chiefs game. I mean, name your game, right? We've all watched how the season has gone. I think there's a surge of optimism coming out of that, like, okay, it wasn't a win. Winning's better than losing in pro football world. But it was a step forward. And there have been a lot of steps forward this year. Terry McLaurin was fantastic. If anybody's still unclear on it, that's why you pay Terry McLaurin. Because if you let Terry McLaurin go, what you're doing with all that money, with all those draft picks, with everything you get, is trying to find a Terry McLaurin. Right? That's what we said in Dallas. You let Micah Parsons go. What are you going to get? A bunch of draft picks? What could those draft picks be? Ooh, hopefully they're a Micah Parsons. That would be nice. Dan Quinn sees them turning the corner. It doesn't hurt that Terry McLaurin's back. We'll certainly be right back at it Sunday. This is your home of the Commanders in Richmond. Pregame show starts at 10 a.m. It's the Commanders and the Vikings. They've had a disappointing season as well up there in Minnesota. But we're going to take a break. When we come back, it's our Play Chesterfield Athlete Spotlight. Love this segment every week. This week, we are headed down to Monacan High School. We'll chat with Monacan's Director of Student Activities and a couple athletes in the Play Chesterfield Athlete Spotlight. That is on the other side. You are listening to Richmond's home for high school football. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
I don't care what anybody says.
Legendary day on sports radio. We got the crumble cookies in Blacksburg. So, so, so good. If you missed that, James Franklin got run out of Penn State. Penn State figured out who they wanted as their new coach. Of course, it's the BYU coach. They offered him a ton of money. And then at the last second, BYU's top donor, the CEO of Crumble Cookies, swooped in and made Kalani Sitake an offer he couldn't refuse. Free cookies for life.
Awfully sweet.
That and, but nicely done. That and probably a lot of money as well. Spurns Penn State, now the only major job that's open. Looks like Kansas State's going to open in the next couple days as well. That's not in the Penn State League of Jobs, though. Like, that is a major job opening. They had their guy, they couldn't finish. James Franklin does his signing day ceremony in Blacksburg this morning, serves everybody crumble cookies. That's a level of petty you can't teach. You can't coach that. You either have it or you don't.
Yeah.
James Franklin's got it. I'm a James Franklin guy. Effective immediately.
I'm all in.
Effective immediately. I'm a James Franklin. You know what I love the most, though, when we interview him next year? Immediately, I love the crumble cookie thing. He's going to go, I don't know what you're talking about. I love him even more for that, too. I thought we'd have some treats for everybody. Why? Because of the thing where he, you know, made Penn State's life miserable. Never heard of it.
Went over my head.
He's a star. Tech's got a good one there. Not sports, but the drunken trashed panda.
That was also top tier story of the day.
I mean, that might be story of the year locally. Yeah, is that the best story in Richmond this year?
Did the gun hole happen this year?
No.
Oh, well then yes.
Yeah, gun hole was last year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Things move so fast.
The gun hole's on display at the Valentine, though, museum.
Which doesn't make sense because they filled in the gun hole and then people scratched it out and now that's on display?
I don't know if they
the
cut...
The memory of the gun hole?
I don't know if they cut the cement out or what, but...
Yeah. I need to know.
It's on display at the Valentine. Maybe we'll do the show live from the Valentine.
Let's do it.
And Hall of Fame, Robert Kraft finally gets in the same time as Bill Belichick. You can't make this stuff up. Great, great day for sports radio. And I'd like to talk about Michael Jordan. So... I love Michael Jordan. I'm of the Michael Jordan era. I remember not just Wizards MJ, peak MJ. He was a global phenomenon. Couldn't be. It's still a global phenomenon. I think if you were to play the name an athlete game with like somebody who's not a sports fan, in America, he is still the very first name people are going to say. If you go up to somebody who doesn't follow sports, you know, you go down to VCU, tap one of the art students, say, hey, name an athlete. I think they're going Michael Jordan, number one, most of them. You're going to get maybe some LeBron James.
Sure.
Sure. Maybe some Tom Brady.
Sure.
Tiger Woods, maybe, if they're old enough.
That feels like a stretch.
Probably not with the kids. He's the number one in the name an athlete game, and he hadn't played in forever. He did The Last Dance, which he produced, and it was all about how great he was. And it bothered me a little, which I said at the time, but it didn't bother me a ton because, one, it was really well done. Two, the timing couldn't have been better. It was during COVID where Michael Jordan was ready to fill the content gap for us. We were all just watching TV and talking about it on Twitter. Great timing for him. And we got to see some unseen video from back in the day and reminisce, and it was cool. So Michael Jordan's back. He's doing half times on NBC now. And I had mistakenly thought perhaps we would get Michael Jordan's thoughts on basketball. It's an exciting time in basketball. The Oklahoma City Thunder, their average age is like 14, and they're winning championships. Chris Paul got sent home in the middle of the night on a bus trip. Like, there is a lot to talk about in basketball. LeBron, you could ask Michael, dude, you hung around a long time with the Wizards. We're watching LeBron hang around too long now. What's that like? I would love to know what that's like. There's like five people on the planet that can tell you what that's like. Brett Favre's one of them, too. Brett Favre isn't doing interviews, unless he's using his one phone call to do it. You got options. Instead, this has turned into a everybody remember how awesome I am every single week. And all right, play last night's Monday nights, whenever it was. He was on NBC. Here's what he said.
Now it's like it's a prerequisite. You know, everybody has to have a logo. Everybody has to have a.
You know why, right?
Well, I'm pretty sure I'm part of the reason why everybody tries to get a logo, but
brand, right?
A brand,
right? Brand Jordan.
But the thing is that brand established based on what I did on the basketball court. You know, I didn't put the brand before I put the work. Mm-hmm. You know, right. I put the work first, and then the brand evolved based on the work.
Right.
A lot of times it's different. You see it in every sport, not just basketball, football, baseball. Everybody's walking around with a logo and a hat, and I get it. But whatever I did here is never going to affect what I do on the basketball court.
But do you think that's harder now for guys? And there's social media and all this stuff, so they got to cut through the clutter here a bit, right?
Yeah, that's true. I like to think that if I was playing today,
right,
I like to think that no matter what, my game is going to validate whatever I try to participate in off away from the game. It's really tough for the kids today, and most of them do a great job of navigating what you are talking about. That's as long as you understand that this is always going to be what you remembered for. Basketball and your love for basketball should always be pure. We would play this game. I've always said this. We would play this game for free. We did, and now we just so happen to get paid for it. Generationally, you know, I like to think that most of the time that people will remember Michael Jordan based on what he did on the basketball court and not always the commercial that he did.
I love Michael Jordan. I'm over this. I'm over the MJ aganda of the NBC halftime show. They had Spike Lee on before the game. I thought that was a nice touch. It was Knicks Pacer. Spike Lee was all like, I'm okay with reminiscing. I'm okay with nostalgia. You saw my Spotify Wrapped. I'm very okay with nostalgia. I'm not okay with this. Okay, can we just fact check this for half a second? I would have played for free. One, you didn't play for free. Two, the second your teammates started getting paid at fair market value, the team fell apart because you were holding the whole thing together on subpar deals. Three, I did stuff before I got my brand. That is demonstrably false. There's a movie about it. There's a whole movie about it. There's a whole movie where he is getting courted right out of North Carolina. And he didn't do nothing at North Carolina. I get that. But he did nothing in the NBA at the time of the Nike deal. He was still a full zero in the NBA at the time of that deal. I did stuff before they gave me a brand. No, you didn't. You're good enough. You're Michael Jordan. You don't need to come on TV every week and talk about how great you are and how there will never be another you. We know that.
Yeah, we're aware.
We're very aware.
Fully saturated.
I could tolerate Last Dance. I am calling it's over on this. I can't do this anymore. Well, the other day, my friend challenged me to make a free throw, and I did because I couldn't let the kids down, so I switched it.
For $10.
I can't do it anymore. I love Michael Jordan. I love reminiscing with Michael. Ask him a question about the NBA now, and not, isn't it ridiculous that guys have logos? Sure. Is it ridiculous that every college player has a stylized version of their initials as their logo? Sure. Yes, it is. And also, if you're Wimby, you should have a shoe deal. You're a global brand and a phenomenon and a number one pick, and you're really fun to watch, and you're in San Antonio, America. Like, people ain't coming to you. You got to go to them. I don't begrudge anybody their chance to make a buy. Jane Daniels is in the Chunky Soup commercial. He's still playing football. He's still working at a high level. Today's practice day in Ashburn. Didn't get the update we were looking for from Dan Quinn on Monday. Was hoping for the Jane's our starter. We're going to practice. We're going to clear him. Instead got the we're going to keep evaluating him this week. Today is the first day of that evaluation. Will he play in Minnesota? I would imagine we will get a lot of clarity on that in the next 24-ish hours. Today's practice, how he responds to it, whether or not the doctors clear him in the coming days. If not, I think everybody loves what we saw from Marcus Mariota. Thank you, Chris Collinsworth, for showing us the way. I think everybody feels good about what we saw in his ability to lead them to a win. And if they play like they played against the Broncos, they will beat the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday. I say that with no hesitation whatsoever. Can they duplicate it? Can they go back-to-back with those efforts? How's Terry McLaurin feeling? He was very clearly on a pitch count until it was overtime and he wasn't anymore. Ended up with 42 snaps. I would guess if you gave Dan Quinn truth serum, he would say that was not the number they wanted to give Terry McLaurin on Sunday night. Is he holding up all right? Is he going to be okay going into Sunday? We'll get answers to a lot of those questions. AWOD will relay them to you. As the day goes on, our friends Grant and Danny will hang out with you from 3 to 6 today. We'll get that party started. On the other side, you're listening to 910 The Fan.
And be the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
A phenomenal day for petty sports news. We did the crumble cookies segment. What I think this is a really good day. Play Chesterfield's always fun, too. Thank you to Monica for dropping by for the Play Chesterfield Spotlight. The Pro Football Hall of Fame. You were here last year for the Robert Kraft stuff, right?
Oh, yeah.
Robert Kraft, New England Patriots owner, has everything in life. Billions of dollars, multiple Super Bowl rings, except the one he gave to Vladimir Putin that he didn't actually give to Vladimir Putin. That's a different story. He's got it all. He has a good football team again, inexplicably. We hate him for that. But the one thing he doesn't have that you can't buy is a spot in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And he really, really, really wants to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He wants it so bad. But you can't buy it. And he lobbied a little too hard and it rubbed everybody the wrong way. And so they've Heismaned him for a little while. They've kept him at distance. All right, so here's how this works. Every year, there are ten people go into the Hall of Fame every year. Five are in the normal process, what we think of as the Hall of Fame. Super Bowl week, the voters get together, select from a list of about 25 finalists. They get in a room, they hash it out. Last year, the debate was, is Eli Manning going to make it? Whatever. We think of that as a Hall of Fame. There's a second process that runs parallel to that, where a group of really old people get in a room and decide... Five, so it's one person in each of five categories: coach, contributor to the game, senior player, except like guys who are not in the traditional pipeline. So like,
all right.
Robert Kraft doesn't go against Eli Manning or Drew Brees or whoever it is this year. He's in a separate pipeline. You know, they gave it to the Broncos owner and Jerry Jones got it, right? Like, yeah, and they take Roger Goodell, Paul Tagliabue. They get their own pipeline. So this year, for the first time, they picked Robert Kraft. They did it.
Oh, man.
Robert Kraft's going to go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. This should be the happiest day of his life.
Yeah!
Guess who else is going into the Hall of Fame from one of the pipeline categories?
Oh, no.
And if you guessed Bill Belichick, you are correct.
Let's go! That is a duo.
The two men don't speak to each other.
No.
They hate each other.
Ah.
And they're both going into the Hall of Fame on the same stage together next year. Now, we have to note, they have to receive approval from the full body of Hall of Fame voters. You have to get at least 80%, but they're not running against anybody. Like, the deal is, you know, like, the sorting out has been done. Either Robert Kraft gets 80% of the vote and is in, or doesn't, and nobody gets in that spot. It's very rare that has happened before. The caveat we need to say here is, it is possible they don't put Belichick in, just because of the Jordan thing, right? Like, it is possible.
Wow.
I don't think they will. Generally, they almost always rubber stamp the selection. It would be extremely rare for them not to rubber stamp the selection, but it's still possible. That'll happen at Bud Light Big Game Week when we're in San Francisco. Will we have things to talk about that week? It appears that, yes, we will. So I'd like to be the first to personally invite Jordan onto this program during Bud Light Big Game Week next year. Can she drink? Is she old enough to drink?
Can we? Yes.
Okay, good. Sometimes we get kids on the show and we can't call it Bud Light Big Game Week. Jordan may come to Bud Light Big Game Week. We'll get her a Bud Light. We'll talk about all this. She must be very proud, obviously, of her man for being this close to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Just so here for, all right, look, you, Robert Kraft, we acknowledge you both deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, but we are going to make this as miserable as humanly possible for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of petty we're here for. That's a crumble cookie level of petty right there. Great day. I told you it was a great day in the world
of
sports.
That's a great day in the world of sports.
It's a great day in the world of sports. Did you see about, this isn't sports at all. Did you see about the raccoon? The drunk raccoon?
Oh, the liquor store? Yeah, I did.
At the Ashland liquor store? That's the... Took us until December 3rd, but that's the story of the year.
Oh, yeah, that's the story of the year.
The Ashland ABC store, Ashland, Virginia, center of the universe, mm-hmm. Just north of here. We have lots of listeners in Ashland. Shout out to Randolph-Macon. Tough finish this year in football, but a perennial powerhouse. The Ashland ABC store... A raccoon was walking on the ceiling above the liquor store. Like, it got inside the building, but was in the, you know, attic area.
Mm-hmm.
Fell through one of the ceiling tiles overnight into the liquor store. knocked over some bottles. lapped up the booze, was discovered passed out in the liquor store bathroom by an employee the next morning.
I mean, what a morning. You go to open the store, you're like, what happened here? Open the bathroom.
We're too late for morning zoo radio. That's the perfect morning radio story. That story will be on every station in America this morning. Has been on every station.
As it should.
As every TV broadcast in America, it's got the drunk raccoon. Did you see the picture? I mean, the picture's perfect. It's just a drunk raccoon sprawled out next to the toilet. You've got the pun bit builds itself. Mm-hmm. Trashed panda. Yeah, I mean, it's the perfect story.
It's 10 out of 10 all around.
It's a full 10 out of 10 story. I can't get enough of that. All right, since we're there, we should probably do Aaron Rodgers, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think he would fit in this segment very nicely. I think you've probably heard the clip by now. Aaron Rodgers has an injury. He's playing through a fracture in his wrist. Not particularly well, by the way. And we did this with Carson Wentz. You remember that? Like, Carson Wentz, when J.J. McCarthy got healthy again, like, Carson Wentz is going to IR. He's been playing through major injuries because he loves his team so much. He's playing like crap. Like, if he loved his team, he would have been like, yo, I can't play. I'm hurt. That's not sacrificing for the team. That's selfish, right? If you can't play well, don't play. If you play through it and play well, kudos to you. We'll applaud you, your team player. If you're fighting through it and sucking, that's not a team first thing at all, by the way. Here's Aaron Rodgers after the game, terrible game, by the way, on what's going on with him and his receivers.
When there's film sessions, everybody shows up. And when I check through a route, you do the right route, you know? John and I just weren't on the same page. I checked to his in-breaker, and he ran out-breaker. You know, John is a true professional, so I'm sure he's sick about that. But, you know, I threw a ball I thought was going to get hit by the wind, and it was 4 yards over Roman. So that's a throw. I got to make that throw. But, you know, we have our meetings every week. We have other opportunities outside of the facility, and look forward to seeing all the boys there.
If I remember right, the season's not a salsa, is it? It's not a fast dance.
It's a bolero.
Bring it back to hits.
We have time, Aaron.
I don't think we played the bolero yet in 2025, have we?
I don't think so.
No, that was a 2024 special. It's good. That's a callback for the OGMPs. Yeah. Dance a little bolero with Aaron Rodgers. Is week 14 we may be too late in invoking the bolero? And yet, also, they're still very much in this thing because the AFC North, which the Cincinnati Bengals at 4-8 are in the hunt. They're right in the mix of things. Couple things break their way. They're good. They can get this thing across the finish line. Steelers-Ravens, 1 o'clock this Sunday. That's the game you got to win, of course, with Aaron Rodgers stinking, with the Steelers on pace to be 9-8 once again. You know it's time for the Mike Tomlin. Is it time for the amicable parting of the ways with Mike Tomlin conversation? Mike Florio, the floor is yours.
Anytime the Pittsburgh Steelers lose two or three games in a row, there's a cluster of the fan base that wants to fire Mike Tomlin. That talk usually goes away. This year, it's back, louder than ever, in the form of fire Tomlin chants. They booed during Renegade during the home loss to the Bills, for crying out loud. So what happens at the end of this season? It feels like we're in new territory. It feels like we may be moving toward a point where somebody wants to end the relationship, whether the Steelers decide to move on, Tomlin decides to move on, they have a true mutual parting, or another team swoops in and works out what essentially would be a trade for Tomlin's services. I don't know at this point, because we've never been to this level of frustration. And consider where we were before the season. Tomlin said he thought this defense could do historic things. I don't think he meant give up more yards on the ground at home than the Steelers have surrendered in 50 years. They miscalculated what this team was going to be. And I think it's going to result in a lot of soul searching in Pittsburgh. And it could result in Mike Tomlin searching for a new opportunity elsewhere in the NFL.
The only people who overestimated what this team was going to be was people who think Aaron Rodgers is still MVP caliber. Everybody else saw this coming from a mile away. It's a 9-8 football team. They're a 9-8 football team. Still searching for their answer quarterback. Here's the thing. Before last season, even after the Jaden Daniels rookie season, I said I would push Dan Quinn out of the building to hire Mike Tomlin immediately. I still love Mike Tomlin. I think he would be a phenomenal coach in D.C. I do think we're on a lot of consecutive years now of him not figuring out offensive coordinator in an offensive league and him having different styles of quarterback that just aren't working at all for him. It's a growing red flag. Now, how many teams would take Mike Tomlin if the Steelers let him go? I'm going to say back of the napkin, 15 to 18. It's more than half the league would take Mike Tomlin instantly, no questions asked. With Jaden Daniels here, that's a dicier proposition. I still want him, but I need to hear from him. I've realized my mistakes. I need to call Sean McVay, say, who's your hot young assistant? Bring him in and let him call the plays. Arthur Smith isn't going to cut it anymore. You're hiring offensive coordinators from 10 years ago. The league has changed. Can you change? It's a big question for Mike Tomlin, one that we'll certainly be talking about in the days to come. No crumble cookies here, but we got hour number two on tap. Zach Joachim on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105. Years and explain to me that on National Signing Day, not only are we not going to lead with National Signing Day, but our main college topic of the day will be a college football playoff ranking, not a selection, but a ranking. And we'll just kind of take signing day as it comes and pass it on to whatever's next because the portal's a bigger deal. Times change quickly. Tell that same person that the ACC goes 6-3 last night against the SEC in the annual basketball challenge between the two teams, and that will be celebrated as a watershed moment for the Atlantic Coast Conference. Yeah, what felt routine has become special. Virginia Tech doing their part with an overtime win over South Carolina. Washington Commanders featured on in-season Hard Knocks last night. Dan Quinn giving a pump-up speech to the boys after a gut-wrenching but optimism-inducing 27-26 loss. So we got our agenda set for the day. You know where we're going to start: college football playoff rankings. Ohio State 1, Indiana 2. They'll play each other this weekend in the Big Ten title game. That's not what you care about, though. You care about what happens downstream. So JMU cracks the list. They're number 25. That's not a coincidence, obviously. You shoehorn them in at the end. North Texas cracks the list at number 24. So let's recap here. There's one spot available at the moment for group of five teams. Tulane at number 20 would appear to be in very good position to win and in for that spot. They're ahead of North Texas, who they play, and JMU, the other team in contention. So if they win against a team rated higher than JMU, I don't see any way the Dukes jump them. North Texas is 24. JMU is 25. If North Texas wins over Tulane, is there a chance JMU jumps them with a convincing Sun Belt title game victory over Troy? I would say yes. Not likely, but possible. The number one outcome for JMU, as it has been, as it will be, is a Duke win over Virginia Saturday in the ACC title game. That would allow that automatic bid to be redistributed to the Sun Belt. Duke's not on the top 25. JMU is on the top 25. And I think the Dukes would get in with a win in that scenario. Nightmare scenario for the committee, because we love chaos around here and we lean into it. Duke beats UVA, freeing up the ACC's at-large spot. But Troy beats JMU, and there's nobody worthy of the spot. And you've got to balance a 5-loss Duke with a 3-loss JMU, and you have to let one of them in to the college football playoff. In that scenario, I think they would let Duke in, penalize Miami, but there would be a lot of hooting and hollering over that. I continue to maintain if Duke wins and JMU wins, meaning the Dukes get in, they will find a way to get Miami in, Miami hovering at 12. So here's the action. Top eight all appear safely in. Nothing can change this weekend. Ohio State, Indiana, Georgia, Texas Tech are your top four. I think no matter who wins Ohio State, Indiana, both teams will get byes. If Georgia beats Alabama, they'll get a bye. Texas Tech, if they beat BYU, will get a bye. Sitting behind them, Oregon, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, and Oklahoma. All four of those teams safe. All four of those teams potentially could slide in to the bye territory with losses elsewhere. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Right now, we have to account for two teams outside the top 12 to jump in. So spots 11 and 12 in these rankings don't make it because you got to give that to the ACC and the American right now are the two places those spots are going. If somehow BYU beats Texas Tech, they're coming in too. You're going to have two from the Big 12. And now 10, 11, and 12 are all out. 9 and 10, 11, 12. Alabama, Notre Dame, BYU, Miami. Those are the four. And Hunter Yurecek, who runs the College Football Playoff Selection Committee, said we view those four as a unit, which I interpreted to mean Texas and Vanderbilt will not be participating. I've got Vandy thoughts in a moment. We'll let Hunter have his word before I tear it apart. But that means that if you break apart those four, if you get an Alabama win or an Alabama loss, you reevaluate. I think there's a very real chance Miami could jump Notre Dame in the final one. Now, the best thing for them, as it always has been, as it always will be to stop doing this goofy television show. It only ends with everybody realizing how much of a farce this is and how little the people on the committee know about the issues at hand. That said, they do keep doing the show. Hunter Yurecek does keep talking, and it does sound like this.
Football Playoff Selection Committee, Hunter Yurecek. Hunter, I think the most notable thing that happened in these rankings is that Alabama moved ahead of Notre Dame. Why?
Reese, I will tell you the debate between Alabama and Notre Dame over the past 3 weeks has been one of the strongest debates we've had in the room for the past 2 years that I've been a member of the committee. And I think this week, as we looked at those two teams and how closely they have been over the past 3 weeks, Notre Dame went on the road, had a strong win at Stanford, but Alabama went on the road in a rivalry game, looked really good, especially in the first half, getting up 17 to nothing, ran the ball well. Auburn came back at them. They had a great gutsy call on 4th and 2 late in the third quarter to get a touchdown and then got the turnover late in that game. And I think that was enough to change the minds of a couple of committee members to push Alabama up ahead of Notre Dame in this week's rankings.
You know what the question is going to be. It's that you're not going to want to have a team lose in the SEC championship game and get bumped out if, say, BYU wins the Big 12. Did that come up in the room?
It did not, Reese. We will evaluate the results of the championship game after they are all completed over the weekend.
Yeah, they're not going to bump an SEC title game loser. Too much of a lobbying push going on there. So Alabama safely in at 9. By the way, if BYU beats Texas Tech, that's actually good news for Texas Tech. You can't drop one team out for losing its conference title game, but protect another lower-ranked team. So they're in. That would free up. That would push out one of the teams looking for one of those spots if you protected Alabama. Now, I've made no bones about it. I think Alabama should be out. I want to talk about something here. Alabama wins the Iron Bowl rivalry game over Auburn, according to Hunter Yurecek. Great win, rivalry game on the road. Tennessee and Vanderbilt, that is a rivalry game, even though it's not one you think of. Vandy beats Tennessee. Vandy beats them like a drum. Vandy beats Tennessee so bad, in fact, they drop out of the top 25. Hunter says, well, the thing about Vandy is they don't have a signature victory. So let's review what happens here. Alabama beats Auburn. That's a great signature victory because it's a rivalry and we were all watching it on TV. Vanderbilt beats Missouri so bad they knock them out of the top 25. Beats Tennessee so bad they knock them out of the top 25. Vanderbilt, the problem with Vanderbilt, according to the committee, is they don't have a signature win because all the teams they've beaten are teams that lost to Vanderbilt. How can you have a signature win against a team that lost to Vanderbilt? They're nobody at that point. You can see where we're going here. Vanderbilt, if they beat Ohio State, I would love to watch the next week. I'd say, well, we can't put Vanderbilt in the playoffs because they beat a team that lost to Vanderbilt. So you see how we're missing a signature win here. The whole thing is the cool kids club. The cool kids today are Alabama and Notre Dame. The non-cool kids are Vanderbilt, BYU, and Miami. Will that change? No. Everybody knows that. It will be the playoffs of the cool kids. And they got to quit doing this TV show. He looks goofier and goofier. He did a 6-7 bit last week, which I don't know if it was ever cool, but it's certainly not cool right now. I feel very confident about that. I've heard of it, therefore it is not cool. Everybody knows the rules here. I don't know where in the world we're headed here, but this is not a sustainable system. We're going to have to go to some kind of fixed system. And then you get word this week, the Big Ten floated an idea to everybody, a 24-team playoff, so we can argue over who the 25th best team in America is every year. Everybody knew this insanity would escalate very quickly. Everybody also knows they're going to get the SEC theirs. JMU, though, we're saying there's a chance. UVA, great chance of breaking in. All they have to do is beat Duke Saturday night. You'll hear it on 1140 WRVA. Here is the national take on this. This is Brandon Walker from Barstool. Can we be honest? We're wasting two spots with an automatic bid for the Group of Five team and the ACC champ. Two deserving teams will be left out so we can allow two teams to feel good about themselves. No, we cannot agree on that. Here's the point of doing a playoffs. We got to figure out, allegedly, who the best team in America is. We've decided this is the best way to do it. If you are the fifth best team in the SEC, you can't be national champion. Everybody understands this, right? Like, if you're the fifth best team in the SEC, no matter what happens in the playoff, you shouldn't be national champion because there are four teams that proved they were better than you in the regular season. Now, sometimes, like, if you want to say they were third best in the SEC during the season, it was a tough league, sure, like, we can debate around the margins. If you're the fifth best team in the SEC, and we're actually talking right now about letting the sixth best team in the SEC in, they're not national champions by definition because they're the sixth best team in their part of the country. I don't care how good their part of the country is at football. They don't deserve to be national champions. The point of this is all these different groups play amongst themselves all year long, and we got to put them all in a room, and we got to figure out who's the best. Do I think the ACC is the best conference? No, it's pretty definitively not. But what if we're all sleeping on the talent? Miami's actually really good, or UVA's actually really good. We've got to put them against the SEC to sort this out in the playoff environment. Do I think the Group of Five team is capable of winning the Natty? No, of course I don't. But we've got to put them against the Big 12 and see on a football field which group is better. If you leave them out, you're not having a playoff, you're having a TV spectacle. And it appears they want a TV spectacle. I prefer football, personally. I'm a fan of football, not TV spectacle. Doesn't seem like we're going to be doing anything of the sorts anytime soon. Speaking of TV spectacles, Dan Quinn was on Hard Knocks last night. We'll tell you all about it. On the other side, we're off and running on a Wednesday morning. You're listening to 910 The Fan.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
I'm the guy to take this on. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, worldwide on the free Odyssey app. I want to talk VCU basketball with our guy Zach Joachim, Richmond Times Dispatch, richmond.com. Of course, we're still doing high school football playoffs as well. Those are winding down. Three games of note this weekend for the local viewers, watchers, followers. All right, but Zach's a Patriots guy. News today, Robert Kraft is getting the thing he's always wanted most in life. He's getting inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And also, Bill Belichick's going in right alongside him, the man he doesn't speak to anymore. It's perfect. You can't make this stuff up. Zach, good morning. How's it going?
Are we winning the Super Bowl, man?
Are we Super Bowl
favorites right now? I think the Pats have risen to number one in power rankings in a lot of spots this week. Obviously, the Giants are having a rough season, but that certainly looked good and felt good on Monday. Some of those hits Jackson Dart took, oh my goodness, that looked painful. It's a Mike Vrabel-led defense. Drake May looks like the MVP favorite right now, and I'm feeling good about my Pats, MP.
All right, here's the only good thing to come of this. As you know, I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan. I grew up there. I've been a fan for 40 years. 35 of those years, I've lived an anonymous existence. People say, MP, who's your favorite team? I say, I grew up in Wichita, Kansas. I'm a Chiefs fan. And for 35 years, people are like, you named a team. Congratulations. Like, you know, you can name one of the 32 teams. I have no, like, there are no feelings about it. Like, good for you. Maybe something good will happen to you someday. And, of course, for the last 5 years, you're very familiar with the response, which, you front runner, you're like Taylor Swift or Patrick Mahomes, which, of course, it's fine. I like the winning part. I can deal with the rest of it. That's been your existence forever. I think you're back.
You have a much better reason than I do, though, because having actually grown up in Kansas, I was a 5-year-old bandwagon fan. I have no immediate ties to the Boston or New England area. And so it sounds much worse when I say I'm a Patriots fan than it does when you say you're a Chiefs fan.
Well, I just need to point out, it's been a long, hard 3.5 years for you. Without
really
anything to root for.
Haven't we?
It's been so long. It's about time you came out of that wilderness and won 10, 11 stupid games already this season. Good for the Patriots. We're all happy for the New England Patriots.
I feel bad for my Commanders fans, friends, many of whom are giving me a lot of animosity and side eye, I think, as I celebrate this great season for the Patriots, because it felt, obviously, last year like the Commanders were on the precipice of success and, you know, an era built around Jaden Daniels of winning football that they really haven't had in a long time. And maybe they still are. Maybe this year is a blip and it can mostly be chalked up to Daniels getting hurt. But I certainly have some mean looks coming from my Commanders fans, friends, as I celebrate this great season because they don't feel like I've suffered long enough.
They know what they signed up for. Last year was not the norm. Last year was the exception. Next year, hope springs eternal in the world of Commanders fandom. Next year's their year. Jaden will be healthy. They'll be fine. This year, got to take moral victories. Moral victory over the Broncos. You wouldn't have minded an actual victory over the Broncos. They got a moral victory over the Broncos.
No, I was really rooting for the Commanders in that game. What a wild ending. Hats off to them for fighting their tails off against a good Denver team. They showed up. It's easy to mail it in at that point in the season when you're struggling and you don't have your quarterback. But they fought their tails off. So hats off to them for showing up.
No doubt about it. He's Zach Joachim, Richmond Times Dispatch, richmond.com. Which one you start with, VCU or high school football?
It's signing day. I guess it's early signing day today. So let's start high school football. Obviously got eyes around the area at a bunch of the 804's top stars putting pen to paper and what's really a ceremonial deal these days. Savannah and I were talking about this yesterday. We've done stories you know, over the past year plus on a bunch of these guys committing to places that they're no longer going to.
Sure.
And so when you do a commitment story early in the process with a college recruit, it feels like you're fighting an uphill battle these days, because most of the time, it really feels like most of the time, they don't end up going to that school. But I think the big story is the Tech guys, and the UVA guys, right, at Verina.
I'm going Tech. I mean, you flip an Oklahoma kid, you get Davion Brown, that's a good day.
UVA is the moment right now, obviously, with the season that they're having, and so hats off to Tony Elliott. Honestly, hats off to both programs, and obviously the Pride of Franklin transition has changed this, but over recent years, they've both really prioritized the Richmond area. And you remember well, we had that time under Justin Fuente, and I think in the Bronco Mendenhall years at UVA too, where a lot of the Richmond area's top guys were not going to UVA or Tech. That has changed over recent years, and that's been really awesome to see, you know, as a local sports reporter who covers these kids coming up and then gets to see them go compete at the state's biggest college football programs. That's awesome. A couple of Verina's top guys, Jayshon Richardson, Damari Carter, are headed to UVA. And then, as you alluded to, James Franklin has flipped a lot of the area's top recruits who were going elsewhere. Maddox Cochran, offensive lineman at Benedictine, Davion Brown, receiver at Trinity Episcopal, who are now headed to Virginia Tech. And that's going to be a lot of fun in these coming years. I know there are a lot of Hokies fans excited about him being able to get some of the 804's top talent. T'Ron Richardson, two-way lineman at Hopewell, who was committed to Oklahoma, he's headed to Tech now. And the tagline that they've all said on their posts, you know, is the best in VA, stay in VA. And it seems like that's very much what Franklin is trying to push. He's always had strong recruiting roots here and gotten some of the area's top guys to go to Penn State. And now that he's bringing them to Blacksburg, it's an exciting time for Hokies fans in the 804.
Yeah, I mean, it's just insane to think back. Like, Bronco didn't have the relationships. He was a West Coast guy. He knew the West Coast. UVA wasn't good enough. Like, he put in the legwork. We saw him at practices, at games. He just couldn't do it because UVA wasn't good enough to swing those kids, and he didn't have the relationships. The Fuente thing is arguably significantly wilder because I know everybody had a little Beamer fatigue at the end, but you bring in a new guy, and he's like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to completely ignore Virginia. I'm going to go get the seventh best kid at each position in the state of Texas. Like, I can't beat the Longhorns. I can't beat the Aggies. I can't beat the Red Raiders. I can't beat the Bears, etc. I can't beat Oklahoma. But once they're all done picking, I'm going to go get the seventh best kid. We're going to line them up, put them in maroon, and we're going to go fight. In an absolutely stunning turn of development, Zach, that didn't work.
It's good to see the Highland Springs to Virginia Tech pipeline mended a little bit here.
Yes.
Because I know that it didn't do great in those years under Justin Fuente. And I think all of the football fans in the area want to see that pipeline send some of the 804's top talent at one of the 804's top programs to Blacksburg. Springer's head coach, Lauren Johnson, was obviously a Tech player. And so it's great to see that pipeline kind of mended here. I think there's five Highland Springs guys on the roster at Tech right now. Talked to Kelvin Gilliam earlier this season. He's had a great final year after he started his college career at Oklahoma, the All-Metro Player of the Year, transferred to Tech. I think he's got a chance to make an NFL roster next year. That'll be really exciting to see. He's been a big contributor for them up front and a leader in that locker room, and obviously a tough season for Tech. But that gives us a good segue, MP, into state semifinals, because the Springers are still alive this weekend.
That was smooth. I respect you. You could host this show. I'll just toss the keys to you for a couple weeks. Go to Cancun. Come back. Springer's rolling. Certainly, I think that's an important win for them to continue East End dominance, getting Hermitage. But, I mean, nobody can touch Verina right now. That's incredible.
Highland Springs beat Phoebus 28-0 earlier this year. Phoebus is the four-time. I think they were in Class 3 before, so I want to say it's three consecutive Class 4 titles in a row, four consecutive state titles in a row for that program overall. And then Verina went and beat Highland Springs on Airport Drive 21-3. It really looks like the blue. I don't see anyone getting in Verina's way. Their toughest test might have been Huguenot, you know, in the Region 4B final. I think it might only get easier for them from here on out. They are the prohibitive favorites to win a Class 4 state title. That defensive line is not just one of the best front sevens, including their linebackers, Braylon Hood and Jaden Walker as well, have had outstanding seasons, but that's one of the best units I've ever seen in high school football. They are dominant up front. I don't know if there's an O-line that can block them in the state. And I see that unit leading them to a state title. Caleb Weish as well comes from a family incredibly rich in athletic lineage. He's been phenomenal for them under center this year. You know, they played Phoebus relatively close in the state final last year until Weish went down with an injury. Yes, I think I see the Blue Devils roll into a state title. Highland Springs has a much tougher test because who are they going to run into in the state final, it looks like? Ooh. MP.
Is it your boys?
It's my boys. I have no rooting interest here, obviously. I'm a neutral reporter, but I'm a Maury High School grad in Norfolk, Virginia, and that has been, over the last few years, the team to beat. They are the Kansas City Chiefs right now.
Well put.
Of high school football, or the New England Patriots of high school football.
Not
Virginia.
As well put.
Coach Deary McCain down there runs a heck of a program. I could certainly see Highland Springs getting to a state final, but they're going to have a tall task trying to knock off the Commodores.
It's so much fun this time of year. Lots of great games ahead. I just don't see anybody touching Verizon. I think a state title is in their very immediate future. And I mean, how depressing to be Dinwiddie and Huguenot, absolutely state championship worthy seasons, but you got that right in your backyard, so you're not going to sniff it anytime soon, it appears. Zach,
dude, an enormous hats off. I'm sorry I cut you off.
No.
Enormous hats off to Dinwiddie, because we doubted them at the beginning of the year after they lost Terry Dalton last year, who was a generational talent. We thought they'd take a step back. We were wrong. Billy Mills and that program have a tremendous culture. Zion Boisseau, their quarterback, had a phenomenal year. Verina really outplayed them in the 4B semifinals, but that doesn't take anything away from everything that program accomplished this year. We were wrong to doubt them, and they proved everyone wrong along the way to another great season. And Huguenot, man, I talked to Coach Scott yesterday. Charles Scott Jr., your new 804 all-time leader for passing yards in a season, got right around 3,500. I forget the exact number, but I updated the record book yesterday. He's still just a sophomore. He's a special talent. Remember that name in the coming years.
Yeah, I was just going to move us along to VCU basketball, because VCU's back in action on Saturday. Zach Joachim, of course, covers them for the Richmond Times-Dispatch, richmond.com. Is this what the A-10 needed to do? It feels like maybe everybody's in a good position here, as we, you know, these aren't the most thrilling games. New Mexico will be a thrilling game next week, but the rest of it is take care of business games. Feels like the conference is in a much better spot than it was.
It absolutely is. VCU is going to have opportunities to boost its resume in A-10 play. I was looking at, as the net ratings came out on Monday, I believe at Rhode Island right now is a quad one for VCU, because Rhode Island's within the top 75. George Mason, George Washington, having really good years. Obviously, Dayton's always going to be there. And St. Louis, it looks like, might be the class of the A-10 along with VCU right now. So those are all going to be, depending on the venue, VCU is going to get a lot of quad two and a few quad one opportunities in conference play. And they're in a strong position right now, right? I think I wrote in my story today, they've won every game that they were supposed to, that they were favored in, and they've lost to the three teams, Utah State, NC State, and Vanderbilt, that they were underdogs against. Those teams are all going to be in the NCAA tournament, have a chance to win multiple games in March Madness. And so I think it's par for the course for VCU right now relative to expectations. Now, in this six-game homestand, I think you pretty much have to go undefeated to maintain that equilibrium. And they're fully capable of doing that, because you've got a few bye games, right, against Rider, Niagara, American in here, Samford on Friday. They play St. Bonaventure on New Year's Eve in New Mexico. Now, New Mexico's 107 in adjusted efficiency. They're 6-2. Not as good as they were last year. VCU should win that game at the Siegel Center, but that certainly won't be a cakewalk, and that would be a strong victory. And then Bonaventure, I think same story. They're 7-1, number 112. That's another good example of some of those teams, you know, toward the top of the middle in the A-10 are having decent years. And those aren't landmine games that if you lose them, it tanks your resume. And if you get a win, then I think it's a quad two range, you know. So the expectation over these next few games is they probably need to go undefeated. New Mexico and St. Bonaventure are the only real tests in that group. So it's time for some holiday home cooking for Phil Martelli and Co. Did you see the water slide video?
I did not. Did they do the water slide in the Bahamas?
They did the water slide in the Bahamas. And specifically, Phil Martelli did the water slide in the Bahamas. The leap of faith, which has like the really direct down, like 90-degree slide, it looks like quite the time. And it's pretty funny to see Phil Martelli sliding down it.
I have done that slide, and it messes with your head. It absolutely feels like you were about to fall.
They all had pretty visceral reactions there. I think Ahmad Noel lets out a pretty high pitched screech going down it, as I would too myself. It looks scary, man. And you go through like the tank where you can see sharks and stuff.
Yep. Yeah. I can do roller coasters and all that. That may be the single ride that has most freaked me out in my entire life. You absolutely feel like you're just going to plummet to your death, and then you don't.
Well, I'm sad I didn't get to go to the Bahamas. It looked amazing, and they got a couple of big wins there. We don't obviously don't have time to rehash the whole battle for Atlantis, but 2-1 wins over South Florida and Tech. I really enjoyed getting to use all the turkey puns from BCU playing Virginia Tech on Black Friday, and that was a big win for them. Obviously, Hokies without Toby Lawal, so we didn't get the Toby Lawal grudge match that would have been a lot of fun. But then they bounced back with a win at South Carolina.
They did.
Last night. So VCU fans, Virginia Tech fans get to be buddies the rest of the year.
Part of a very nice showing for the ACC. You talk about conferences that need a little something. Not just the A-10, the ACC does too. They got it last night, 6-3 against the SEC. He's Zach Joachim, Richmond.com, Richmond Times Dispatch. Going to get to see you at the Stew a little bit for these next couple weeks. Very excited about that. Hope your Thanksgiving was awesome. I'd say good luck to the Patriots, but I don't mean it, Zach. But have yourself a lovely day, and I'm sure we will talk soon.
I hope the punk show at the Canal Club was wonderful, my friend. Thanks for having me on. I'll talk to you soon.
It was, and we are back right after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.